us out now. Sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show,
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
And it is another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge, I'm here in D.C. after watching games 1 and 2 of the finals in Denver, in Miami, because he gets on the plane and goes everywhere. The soon-to-be Hoffer, my brother, Mark Spears. Mark is going to join us in a minute. What's up, Spears?
My teammate.
What's up, boy? You got your speech ready for Springfield?
Nah, man, I need some advice on that. I need some advice.
They always say to keep it short.
They told me I don't get as much time as David Aldridge.
To hell with that, man. Take as much time as you need. You're going into the hall, baby.
I found out they got some information there. I guess it was usually it's at 6.
Yeah.
But now they said it's at 8 o'clock. So I was like, 8? Does that sound right?
Well, they used to have a reception, and then they would do it.
No, they got a reception before.
Okay, usually the reception started about 7, so it's like an hour later, I guess.
Yeah.
But you'll be all right. You'll be all right.
You coming?
Of course I'm coming. What, you think I'm going to miss this? Chance to heckle you from the crowd?
Yeah, buddy, let's go. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Yeah. No, you know I'm going to be there, man. Come on. Of course.
That's great.
Bro, you at the finals. I was watching all the pressers today. It always cracks me up during the final spears. Everybody thinks every game is a tragedy or a comedy.
Like
every game is different. Nothing that happens in game 3 is going to have anything to do with what happened in game 2.
It's all a chess match.
Exactly. But what was you were on the ground. What was the mood like?
You know what? You know me. I got my own gamemanship. I was working on a story and needed my one quote, you know, as vets do.
Right.
So I didn't even see the Nuggets.
You didn't even stick a hand in there?
Nah, man. I went and got my one quote I needed from Spo, who has given me some phenomenal quotes. Yeah. So shout out to Spo. And then I got back to the lab. It got this story out before I did something on the radio back in California.
Dude, I'm not mad at you.
No, talking to you, man. It's all about time management for us,
too. It's what's good for you. That's what it's
about. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, they got other people to give the day-to-day,
exactly.
Right?
We've been at a million of these media sessions, so, you know.
Yeah.
We ain't going to go crazy. Crafty vets. But I think this series, to me, this is like the ultimate. If you really like hoop, this is the ultimate kind of chess match, X and O.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much going on. And it's fascinating to me to just watch these two teams kind of adjust to each other in real time.
Yeah, no, this is also the David and Goliath of it. It makes it interesting as well.
Yeah.
And some may not want to call the Nuggets David, but they were the number one seed in the West.
Yeah.
They had an amazing record. Like, they're supposed to win this series.
They're supposed
to be the favorite, and it is early, but I'd be lying to say if I wasn't stunned that they lost a game at home.
Yeah,
like they're such a big favorite in this series that a resounding win in game 1, which I just felt like if they would have been more serious about putting their foot on the gas, it could have been a blowout. And so it was interesting. Like in the third quarter, I'm like, well, here we go again. What are they going like this? Look at it like a 42-10 run or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, I'll be home next Saturday.
right.
That's how I felt like late in the fourth quarter, third quarter. And then, man, that's them, as Kurt calls them goons, right? Them
vampires, man.
UD calls them dogs. Like, they got dogs, man. They just don't die.
They're vampires. That's what I mean.
They don't die, man. They're like, we still got time on the clock.
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna keep fighting. Yeah. Ding. You know, they just won't go away. Nope. And so that's the thing I think that Denver needs to learn about these guys. You know, you until the buzzer sounds, don't let down.
Yeah.
Don't get complacent. And I felt like they got complacent in the first two games.
Yeah.
And you can't you see how these dudes lost the first game to the Hawks.
Right.
Like they lost in a playing game.
Right. Like,
yeah. And they made it here.
Yeah.
Man, I don't care what they may look like. You better show up against them, man. Cause
like my man Uncle Jeff Green said, this is the fucking finals.
Yeah, yeah.
What y'all doing?
Yeah, you know, man.
Come on, y'all.
They from East Oakland or something, trying to survive. Like, you
know, we're just trying to make it, brother. We're just trying to make it
in this world.
I still got time left on the clock. I'm gonna keep fighting you. I know I'm bloody. I know I got a broken arm.
But you
got
to know that about the Heat. They don't die, man. You know, like they're not gonna die. You have to kill them. You have to put a stake through their heart.
And I really feel like the Nuggets have underestimated these dudes. Not verbally, but by their actions on the court.
Yeah.
You don't blow leads like that, man.
No.
But Mark, let me ask you this. Isn't this good?
Hey, man, welcome, man. What you doing,
nah,
man?
Nah, man.
You just like got this shadow just showed up, right? Like,
man, yeah, witness protection. Don't you know that?
Yeah.
We just rolling, man. Come on. What you mean? I'm too black. My fault.
You got to put the shade up, man. Like, put that shade. There you go.
That's it.
I know you was trying not to show the bed.
Y'all skin color.
There you go, man. Let them see that. Let me see that. Let them see that handsome,
man. That's a 10 on Room Raider. Look at that.
I was trying to show the backdrop of beautiful thunderstorm in Miami. You know what I'm saying?
Let them see that handsome, man. Don't hide that handsome.
Cut it out. Now I'm all bashful. I can't even ask my question. No, I was going to ask you, like, you know, there's been a lot of talk, especially there in Denver. There's a lot of people who are like, yo, Denver's next, right? Like, Denver's going to be good. They're going to be good for a long time. They win a few titles. I feel like, to me, that game, too, was more like, are you sure? Like, are y'all really ready for this? And if you're Denver, it almost feels like you need that. I was looking it up afterwards because I tweeted it, and a lot of people were like, that's crazy. But the last five teams to lose either game one or two at home went on to win the title. Like, since they went 2-2, 1-1-1, like, if you win both, they just 3-2.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go undefeated. It's something about, like, just being put to this. Is this good for Denver that they got hit in the mouth? They know what it feels like. And now they get to see who's really about that life.
Yeah, no, it's like, that's the scary thing about Miami. Like, now they're at the advantage.
Yeah.
They're going home with the 1-1 lead. Now, let's be real, though. This isn't exactly the Terror Dome that Denver's coming to play, right? Like everybody there has got white T-shirts on, right.
They get there halfway through the first quarter.
With no socks on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're going to be more, celebrities down there. I'm going to get heckled by Tom Joyner. He's going to FaceTime me. Talk about Let's Go Heat and stuff like that. But Lil Wayne will be there again, but there'll be 20 other celebrities there too, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it can get loud in there, but it's not intimidating, I don't think.
I mean, was Ball Arena the Thunderdome?
No.
It wasn't intimidating.
But my point is, it's still home for them, right? This is on the road, and that's where it gets different, because I'm going to bring Marcus. Were you around in 2006? You were covering the league already, right?
Yeah.
One of the most hilarious things in NBA Finals history was when the Dallas Mavericks came to play the Heat. And them dudes was in them streets, man.
Oh, Lord, were they in them streets?
I can say it now. I was young enough then. I think David was there with me. Like, we saw him out.
Oh, we were at the spot at four in the morning.
Same dinner spot, man. Or supper spot. I don't know.
Half the team showed up. After we had dinner. After we had dinner.
To our listeners, I was covering the draft.
Okay. After we had dinner, we went to the spot, and they were there.
It was popping. I'm like, these dudes just showed up. Oh no, that's not good.
Yep.
And then Avery Johnson, that was their coach at the time, went haywire and changed hotels.
Oh yeah, they moved 30 miles.
Changed hotels, Marcus. You know this story?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they changed their hotels to the Warriors.
Yeah. And so I don't think Denver – well, one guy comes to mind. I think he's going to be out in the streets. I'm not going to say his name. But I don't think I think Denver has the focus. The one thing that I do worry about for them, and this is where I want Marcus's expertise on it, because he would know
quickly. Like, if I'm not mistaken, like when the Warriors have been in the finals, the families don't show up until they're about to like clinch, like until they're in like a clinching moment. Where I did find it kind of interesting that the Nuggets family and loved ones are got on a team playing and they're here already. And I think in the finals, you probably need as little distractions as possible. You need the most focus you could have, you know. So to worry about what grandma and mom is doing, or did my kids crying, they ain't got no sleep. Like the distractions of having, is it a distraction to have your family there, or is it calming for a player that has to play a game? Like, I don't know. This isn't exactly like, you know, playing in, I'm trying to think of another city, like playing in Cleveland where it's easy to focus. There's so many distractions here that I do wonder for the Nuggets, with them being this being new territory, should they perhaps maybe have waited on bringing the loved ones here? But from being around Michael Malone in the bubble, as David, as you know, like family's everything to him. And he really lamented about not having his family here to enjoy these moments. But is it too early to have all that? I mean, only they could answer it. But I always thought it's easier to play on the road because there are less distractions, and perhaps now there's more.
You can act like, nah, I want you to come, baby, but you know I gotta.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
It's definitely a distraction, though. I mean, yeah. I know people hate to say it about your family. It's not maybe distraction. is a negative connotation. Maybe it's more a diversion, right? Like you're thinking about something else that's also worthy.
Yeah,
but it's there. You know what I'm saying? Where I remember the first year the family was there in Cleveland. And, you know, I think the first finals, I think you do bring your family. And then you realize. Yeah.
Then you shut it down. Maybe. I'm gonna be counterintuitive on this, Spears. If I know my man's going down to South Beach for 4 days,
I'm going with you.
I might show up with you.
South Beach in the finals.
Ain't South Beach in March. You know what I'm saying?
Turn up together. We're going to turn up together.
So I can see it both ways, actually. You know, like, so. But they got to play better. Whether families are there or not, they got to play better. Michael Porter got to play better. He's got to be more of a factor in this series than he's been the first two games. Gordon was great in game one, was not as great in game two. I think Murray had a bad game two, but he wasn't as impactful in game two, obviously. Yeah. They put Jimmy on him. Those guys have got to figure out, like you said, Spears, you've got to figure out how to compete for 48 minutes against this team. Do something. If your shot's not falling, do something else. Rebound.
Don't even go into the locker room at halftime. Just stay there.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to do something to figure it out.
Yeah,
I got to do something to impact this series, impact this game.
Do a mini practice during those 50 days. You know what
I'm saying? Like,
hey, man, that's that. If I had to be in the room with the Miami Heat, I'm keeping my eye open all night. I'm not sleeping, man. Them dudes just kill us.
Yeah.
Like they are.
Sure as hell are.
They're
sure
stone cold, boy.
And they, I want to give the Heat some props on that, because they are to me, they remind me of the Pistons, the old Pistons, the Isaiah Pistons, because the Isaiah Pistons were like this, relentless. Yeah. They just kept coming, no matter what the score was or the situation of the ball game. They kept coming. And they were, as a result, were never really out of a game. They didn't get blown out of any playoff games. They didn't get blown out that much.
Yeah, what's that movie where it's really, really popular, where they put all those people in one place and they were trying to survive?
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch those movies.
I don't know what he's talking about.
It's
a movie where, like, let me ask Andrew, because it's probably an Andrew movie.
Who in it?
Who's in it? Had to, like, the girl was in it. And they're all
going all out.
And they're like on an island. They're on an island, and they're trying to survive.
You mean the TV show Lost?
No, the movie.
Oh, I don't know.
And like people died along the way, and
if Andrew, jump in if you know the name of the movie with the girl in it on the island.
With the girl in the island.
And they put him on this train.
Andrew has no idea about the girl on the island.
They put him on this train, and they put him on an island, like this futuristic movie. And the girl had the bow and arrow.
Oh, you mean not the Hunger Games?
Yeah, the Hunger Games.
Oh, okay. How is that the description of the Hunger Games?
I knew what it meant.
The Miami people on the island with the girl.
Exactly. You understood. Andrew,
you know the movie? You
and
know
they put. If they put UD, I'd expect UD to figure out a way to stay alive.
Marcus, you know the movie with the girl on the island.
What's the, you know that reminds me of that movie. Remember the movie with the man in the dress shoes?
What was the movie? Hey, man, that's how black people have been describing movies. Right? That's how black people have been describing movies for years, man. You're supposed to know what we're talking about. Right? You know, the man with the arm.
The guy with the food. You know that movie. Come on. Oh, man. Well,
hey, how do you describe it in the boomerang with the dog? You know, the man and thing. Oh, no, when he's talking about the accident on TV. The cab hit the other cab. Anyways.
Man, so I was trying to make, I forgot the point I was trying to make. About how the about heat don't die. That's what the point
is. Exactly.
Was.
They're like the Hunger Games, man.
They're like the Hunger Games, of course. That's exactly what it's survive. Like.
Now that we know the name of the movie.
Oh, with the God. Island and the girl. All right. I'm using that forever.
All right. So we got two in
you know
Miami.
What I'm saying? The bow and arrow, the girl in the
yeah,
island.
Yeah, the bow and arrow.
The train.
Like, yeah, her Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah.
All right, what do we expect out of these next two games? Let's get to that. Let's see. What do we think? Are we going back 3-1?
I don't know, man.
I don't think Denver's winning both, but I think Denver certainly could win one of these two. Yeah, I could see that.
I definitely think it's a split. There's a much... If you would ask me before game two, if I thought I was going home for good on Saturday, I'd say yeah.
Yeah.
And the Heat changed the whole. I was like, the Heat got to win game two for this to be a series. That's kind of how I felt.
Yeah.
And they did. And they did, man. And
it was that fourth quarter of game one, though. Like Michael Malone said, they like you said, they play real loose in that fourth quarter of game one. And I think that might have gotten Miami a little bit of confidence, saying, hey, wait a minute.
I actually thought it was going to be the opposite. I thought that Denver would learn from that.
Yeah.
Especially, like, you know, that lead they got in the third quarter. I think, they saw this movie already.
Right.
They're good. And then those guys just kept chipping away, man. I know we keep belaboring the fact that they're staying alive, and I'm giving these horrible analogies, but their ability – To just not give up, man, is so impressive to me.
Yeah.
So impressive to me,
to me, the most impressive, Mark, you watch so much basketball. Have you seen this many, like, people, like, just the shot making? Like, it's unbelievable. Like, when these dudes are open, they're not missing. And when they miss, they lose, right? But they aren't missing enough to lose. It's just unbelievable. I mean, we've watched some great shooters not shoot like this. And here you go, like, Gabe Vincent is not missing.
And I was at I don't know if you were there, remember if you were there or not. I was at Game 7 Eastern Conference, and you swear Caleb Martin was a superstar in this league.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Kyle Lowry showed up last game. Like, Kevin Love, like, made an impact. Like, their ability to just have different people step up. Like, to me, like, for Denver, it's like two guys. With Miami, you don't know who it's going to be. Bam has been amazing. They got, like, so many people that can hit a high note.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I do want to talk about this because we got, you know, all kinds of ridiculous play after game two. And I think it was unwarranted and unfounded. But the whole notion about Jokic and whether Miami is trying to force him, and that was the silly analogy, the silly word play there. About forcing him to be a scorer so that he doesn't create shots for other people. And my point was that it's not about them forcing him, or it's about them being able to live with him being a high volume shooter and a high volume scorer as long as they stay at home on everybody else and don't let anybody else get off. And I do think they're fine with that. Now, Spo jumped on the phrasing of the question, of course, and instead of actually answering the question. But I do think there is
the
something
evil to be genius said. That is Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, right. I do think there is something to be said for them not letting or making it as hard as possible for Jamal Murray to get off. And if that means Jimmy Butler, his points go down, but he makes Jamal Murray inefficient, that's advantage Heat, I think.
Yeah. And that's where also
know,
like
my eyes untrained. I don't know. So
yeah, that's right.
I gotta see.
That's right. It's not like you watch basketball for a living.
Yeah, my eyes untrained. Please help me out, Mark Cruz. I don't know.
But that's where like Miami has and is, like Denver has to have other people step up.
Yeah.
Like Aaron Gordon's had some good seasons in this career where he's certainly capable of giving you 18. Yeah. Like step up. MPJ, you know, this is what you do. You're a, you know, a scoring assassin. Score.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, KCP, like all these other guys. They
you're 3-D. That's
man.
What you do. Yeah. Yeah.
And but that through the playoffs, like they've had other guys offensively step up when they need to, like even when Joker was in foul trouble with the Lakers, KCP stepped up.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Porter Jr. stepped up. Brown stepped up. So, like, these I don't know, think that they were in game one. It didn't seem like they were fazed by being in the finals at all.
Right.
But.
Well, they were more physical in game one. You know.
But I do think that maybe that's the problem. They're playing like they're not fazed about what this is.
Yeah, right, right.
Like
right.
It's the first to four, man. Don't matter. Like I remember Aaron Gordon was talking about something. We were talking about something about the scores of the game or what the box score said. I said, and this was after they were one win away from going to the finals. I said, when they're looking at this 20 years from now, they're going to look at if you guys won the series or not.
Yeah.
Not what LeBron James scored.
Right. That's right. That's right.
And I think they have to grasp the immediacy of this moment, the urgency of these wins, the urgency of each game. Because I can't recall a team in the finals not playing urgent for 48 minutes. And if they had, I think they'd be up 2-0 right now.
Yeah. They are the thing that would encourage me if I was Denver is that they took LeBron's best shot and came back and won that series. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they took his absolute best shot.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
There's a lot being made about, you know, the coaching matchup, Eric Spoelstra's legendary coach, right? Mike Malone's first dance. Are you watching, like, is that overhyped? Or are you watching to see what's the move Michael Malone makes to counter, you know, Eric Spoelstra move? Or, you know, is it just a matter of, you know, MPJ, you make shots, the game is different. KCP, you make shots, the game is different. Does Malone need to show us something a little bit?
No, I think he does in game three. It's a chess match, and you got to give Eric Spoelstra credit for putting, you know, Kevin Love in the starting lineup. And then after the game, saying, I should have did that going in. That
right?
was my bad. Yeah. Like, well, that's my fault for not doing that.
That sounds like you're saying we'd be up 2-0.
Yeah. No, that's what I heard, too. That's what I heard, too. And so, you know, like, both of these coaches kind of got this kind of, like, old school bitterness to him, which I'm really enjoying. And so I'm curious to see what Malone's going to do. I mean, the one thing in the elephant in the room is Tyler Hero. You know, yes. he talked to Roz Golden Woody, our homie, and basically told her that he still has pain when he shoots from the injury. But it's the finals, man. I don't know what his pain is, and I don't care to know what it is, but I feel like he'll be back. I think he'll be back tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised if he's back tomorrow.
I think so, too.
He's taking contact, and the fact that he, like before, at the beginning of the series, Spo was saying, well, he hasn't had any contact. Now he is. I'm sure they could give something that may lessen the pain a little bit. But I don't know what he could give them, how confident you are, especially when your guards have been playing as well. Like, you know, I call him Hemi Duncan, you know. Duncan Robinson has been playing well, man. He's been balling.
Man, he's Martin's having those moments, dude. Balling.
Yeah.
Yo, Duncan be looking like Larry Bird out there sometimes.
Yeah, Hemi Duncan. I just, like, how do you incorporate Hero now? It's a good problem to have, but I just wonder, like, how you incorporate him when they've had success without him so far.
Is there, I wonder, is there somebody Denver can bring off? Who's their hero they can throw into the series? I don't really have anybody, huh? They're, I don't know, playing. Peyton. I like Peyton.
Well, you know who's been sitting there with dust on him? That I've been confused by ever since I've been watching these Nuggets games is Reggie Jackson.
Ooh, I forgot he was on the scene, so I saw him in the locker room. I was like, oh, that's where Reggie is.
Like, I'm like, I mean, that's a credit to, you know, Calvin Booth, the GM of the Nuggets, the depth that he has on his team. Like the kid Braun, I think he had a good game, right?
Yeah.
But I've always been I like Reggie Jackson.
That is weird.
Man.
That is weird, especially a dude who's played playoff minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he's got playoff experience.
Yeah, he's been there, done that, and to his credit, he's kind of been heat like where he hasn't complained about it. Happy to be here, you know, been the good soldier, but. I think, especially from a shot making ability, he could help him. I think he could give him a boost coming off the bench, but he's got so much dust on him. You know, like what is he going to be now?
Reggie OG, though, he can pull it off. I can't let you go without asking you. You are like America's number one African basketball reporter. You've been covering like the relevant stories for years now, better than anybody in the nation. I want to ask you about two guys who are putting on for Nigeria, right? Bam is playing like incredible ball. And I remember you wrote a piece about, you know, him like accepting his name. Did you write a piece about his name, like embracing his name and his father who wasn't there and his Nigerian roots? And then you got Gabriel Nnamdi Vincent, showing off. And I talked to Mike Brown about him. Modesto's finest. I talked to Mike Brown about his time in the Nigerian national team and what it did for him. What do you think those two, at just this stage and them being who they are and what they represent, what does it do for just the international level of the international attention, the basketball as an as a sport in Africa, as opposed to what everybody knows, soccer is the most popular sport.
Well, I mean, in terms of Bam, I think he's still learning about his African roots. Will continue to learn. And I remember he was actually considering playing for Nigeria for a minute, which would have been incredible if he would have did it, right? Like, but obviously he played for USA.
He wanted a gold medal.
yeah. That's a nice perk. And then Gabe Vincent, I got to talk to his dad, who immigrated from Nigeria in 1980s. It's a teacher at Cal State Stanislaus. And he's, you know, was hoping that his son would play soccer, and he's turned into an amazing basketball player in person. But the, you know, the one thing that's interesting about Gabe Vincent to me, like to, I wrote a story that included his name and Steve Nash. They're really the only, when you think of basketball from Africa, you're always thinking about the bigs. But now you got these guards that are starting to come in. And they got this kid, keep an eye on his name, Thierry Darlan from Central Africa, is going to be playing for the G League Ignite. And Africa's been always producing centers and power forwards. Recent years, more small forwards like Pascal Siakam. But this kid is the first born and bred, I think, NBA point guard that comes from Africa. Also, Wembanyama's father is from Africa as well. So the impact I think that those two guys could have, I think, could be incredible to have a 7'5 guy, so many tall people in Africa deciding maybe to give basketball a chance, and to have some younger kids in Africa, I mean, a vast continent that is Africa, start learning that, hey, I can dribble the ball. I could be more skilled. I could be a floor general if Thierry Darlan can do it. It's going to be very intriguing to see the kind of talent that comes out from Africa, whether it's bigs or point guards in the future. And I think those two guys are going to be very inspirational.
Where is Wimby's dad from? What is he?
You would ask.
Is he Nigerian?
No, he's not Nigerian. I forgot where he's from, but his dad is from Africa.
Oh, I'm glad that you know Andre Iguodala is one of the Nigerians who I deal with all the time. So it'd be nice if he's from somewhere not Nigeria, so I don't have to hear from Andre.
No, it's not Nigeria. And Darlan is from Central Africa, so I want to say his dad's from like Gabon or something like that.
All right, my brother, you're a legend. Get you up out of here. Appreciate the time. I look forward to hanging with you and Miami the rest of this week.
Yes, sir, the rest man. Of week. Tell the missus and little mama, I say, hey, let's get on these beach.
They running these streets already. We out.
All right. Well, hit me up, brother. Love you, man.
All right. Love you, peace. Too. Peace.